Well, good morning, everybody. I'm still walking up to the front. Have you ever had one of those mornings where things just aren't going right? That's been one of those mornings for me today, where things just are not happening like they're supposed to. Technical difficulties and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Oh, it's so much fun. All right. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for longer than any of us have been around. The Lord be with you. That is the promise that's been made, that Jesus made, where two or three gather together in his name, that there he is in the midst of them. And he didn't say everything has to go right for him to show up. So we just have to be together. And so God has invited us here to meet with him, to meet with our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's bow our heads and let's pray as we begin this service today. God, we are grateful to you for your faithful love for us. On this Sunday morning, we remember that Sunday morning when some disciples showed up at your tomb and found it empty, discovered that you had conquered sin and death by your death and resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that today we get to share in that victory. Today, we can have a relationship with the God who loves us. Thank you, God. Thank you for your grace and for your love and the opportunity we have to celebrate that today. Please, God, in the songs that we sing and in the prayers that we pray, in the scriptures that we read, and in our gathering together around the table of our Lord Jesus, may we meet you here by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will."
Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, that song was a prayer, and that's our prayer today, that you would reign in us, that you would rule, that you would be in charge. God, you know that so many times we have tried to be in charge of our own lives. We have tried to be our own kings, our own rulers, our own authorities. We've tried to set the agenda for our own lives. And God, our lives can testify that's been a recipe for disaster. We have tried to take your place and be our own little gods. We find ourselves overwhelmed. We find ourselves quickly making all kinds of mistakes and hurting ourselves and hurting the people around us. And God, today we just acknowledge that we're not cut out for your job. We need you to rule and to reign. We need you to be our God and King. And we submit ourselves to you. So today, God, we confess to you our failures and our sins. We confess to you, we just admit to you the messes that we've made. We bring you ourselves and all of who we are, all of our history, all of what we bring with us to this very moment. God, we bring you ourselves, and we are trusting in your grace and in your love that you've shown us in Jesus Christ. That you won't condemn us or push us away. That you will not reject us for the ways that we have failed you. But that today you will look at us with love and with grace. That today, as we confess to you, you will forgive us our sins and wash us and make us clean. That today, God, you will embrace us and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might live in this world as new people, following a new King. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to worship you and have our lives transformed by your love. We pray this confident in your love, because we've seen it in Jesus. So it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thanks. We're going to take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. So let's shake some hands. Let's wish somebody a happy Sunday. All right. I hope everybody got one of these little welcome bulletins when you came in, let you know what's going on around here these days. If not, I see a couple more back there by the offering box. And inside there is that little welcome card. Always love hearing how we can be praying for you or thanking God with you, what good things are going on in your life, or what needs are happening in your life and how we can be praying for you. There's a, just real quick, there's one need that just came up this morning. I don't know if, or maybe it's already been solved. Diane back here. Hey, Diane. Diane, do you still need a ride to work after this? Or is it taken care of? Oh, okay. All right. So you've got a ride to work this morning. Good. All right. Okay. Okay. So tomorrow morning, a ride to the doctor. If anybody can give. Okay. If anybody can give Diane a ride tomorrow morning, would you talk to her before you leave? That would be awesome. So Diane doesn't have a vehicle. She either walks here or rides her bike here and or takes public transportation, which, you know, can sometimes be a real challenge when you have to ride the V-line all the way around town until it finally gets to your stop. So if you can help her out tomorrow morning, that would be awesome. Also inside there, you can see there's some different things going on, including, I'll mention real quick. Sorry, last week we took a whole bunch of housewarming gifts over next door, and women already started moving in. Monday morning, there were women moving in next door into the apartments, and they were ecstatic to receive the gifts that you guys had given. And so thank you very much. I've got some pictures that I don't have up on the screen of some of the women smiling real big and some stories that I'll be sharing with you. But if you still wanted to give for our next door neighbors, the women who are moving into the extremely affordable apartments next door, the Women's Bible Study has been collecting some clothes just from their own group. And sometime in the next few weeks, we're going to have like a free shopping day here at the church where they're just going to lay out all these clothes and some other things. Some of you donated some dishes and some other things. I think there are some shoes, all kinds of things that have been coming in and appearing in the boxes back there. If you have something you'd like to donate to them, we're just going to invite them over to come and browse through it and take whatever works, whatever they can use. And then whatever they can't use, we'll donate on to the thrift stores here in town, probably the ones run by the there's one run by the Methodist Church just right down the road here. And so if you would like to give to that, you can. Or you can also give cash for the neighbors in need next door. We'll, for our next door neighbors, and we'll turn those into gift cards that will be given to them here pretty soon. So if you'd like to do that, awesome. You can still join in on that. Yesterday, the kids that are here for quizzing, they were, can we put some of those pictures up there of the kids from yesterday? They were out at South Lake Church of the Nazarene, and they did awesome. You recognize our drummer Miles right up there. He had a perfect quiz, I think. Is that right? Didn't miss a single question. How many questions did they ask? It was like 40 questions, and he answered them all right. And so he ended up going home. Yeah. He ended up taking home not just a ribbon, but like a trophy and all. And I think I saw a candy bar in his hand in one of these pictures. So anyway, there's a few of them up there. You can cycle through those if you want to. And then several other kids from our church and kids from other churches who come together with us here on Wednesday nights to study God's word and to learn it. And they have all kinds of fun getting to do that stuff. So anyway, that's good. And then last week Josh was here with us from Team World Vision, talking with you about running the Chicago Marathon. Some of you might be interested in doing that and weren't here and didn't get to talk to him. Some of you, maybe you've been thinking about it all week and you're like, you know what, I think I really should do that. The opportunity is not just to run a marathon, obviously 26.2 miles, but is also to help raise money for clean water for kids in Africa. World Vision is the largest nonprofit that puts in clean water wells and other sources for clean water for communities in Africa. And so we've been excited to be a part of this for the last couple of years. And if you want to run the marathon this fall, awesome. Maybe that's your big, huge goal for this year, is to be able to run 26.2 miles. There's a team of us, not just from this church, but from other churches in the county, who will be helping you to train and helping you prepare for it. If you feel like God's nudging you toward that, you need to do something with that, okay? Some of you are thinking, okay, that'd be great, I'd love to, but there's just no way I can do that. Maybe you're too young to do that, too old to do that, you've got other issues, or just time-wise, you know you can't devote the time that it takes to prepare for running that far, because, you know, 26.2 miles takes you between like 4 and 6 hours to finish, unless you're like really fast. And some of you are like, I just don't have the time to train for that, because that's hours and hours of training all summer long. Well, there is another opportunity for you. That we've got some little flyers on tables, and there's some out there. We are going to be hosting the Global 6K for Water. Now, 6K is not 26.2 miles. It's like 3¾ miles, all right? So that's less than 4 miles. We're going to have it right across the street at Old Fairgrounds Park. Some of you have gone over there and you've walked around that track. It's a 3/4 mile track. Basically, we're just going to have to walk around that 5 times. So if you can walk around that track 5 times, you're already ready to participate in the 6K in May. Now, some of you are like, I can't walk around that 5 times. I can only walk around it once. Or I can only walk partway around from one parking lot to the other, and then my, you know, spouse has to come and pick me up because I'm out. I'm done. Well, that's okay, because this isn't happening until May, and this is just January 22nd. You have a lot of time between now and then. And my wife, Stacy, is such a big believer in training, and because she knows it helped her to run the marathon a couple of years ago. She'd never run anywhere near that far, but she found she was able to run from that. And Amanda, had you run? How far had you run before doing the marathon 2 years ago? A couple of steps, yeah. But she finished the Chicago Marathon 2 years ago. So it's possible to go from not a runner at all to running 26.2 miles. But again, if that's just way beyond, maybe that's your 5-year goal to go that far. But this year you're thinking, maybe I can go 4 miles or just under 4 miles. Then Stacy has put together a little training thing that we can give you. There's a Facebook group. We're going to have Saturday walks and Saturday runs starting February 25th across the street on Saturday mornings. So I've been telling some people this, but I haven't told you this yet. I would love to see every single person who calls this their church participate in the Global 6K on May 6th. Now, I know some of you can't do it that day because you've got scheduling conflicts. Saturday morning's not a time you can do it. It's okay, you can do it another time. But I would love for all of us to show up across the street on that Saturday and do 5 laps together, some of us walking, some of us running, some of us skipping, I don't know. Somebody's going to have to push Marvin around the thing in his wheelchair because I want Marvin to be able to participate. I want all of us to do it. And here's the thing, though, it's not free. It costs $50 to do it because your $50 registration provides clean water for one person. And I left it back in the office. They will give you a race bib, even though it's not much of a race. We're not timing it or anything like that. But they'll give you a race bib, just like it's an official race, like you're running a marathon, that has the name and picture of the person that you're providing clean water for, which is the coolest thing in the world. So if you want to participate, you can register now. You can go. There's information on here how you can do it. You go to worldvision6k.org. When you sign up, you join Team Valpo. We've got a Facebook group. There's a Facebook event we're starting on there just so we can promote it to everybody. Or you can just write it on your welcome card and say, I want to do this, but I need a lot of help or something. All right? So that is coming up in May, Saturday, May 6th. You can mark your calendars now, and you can begin planning now for, okay, I got to be able to walk that far. Got to be able to walk 3¾ miles all in one stretch. Actually, you could stop and rest for half an hour, and then you could walk some more if you wanted to. It's not a race. Or you can run it, or you can do it. It's going to be a good, good day. And I mean it when I say I want every single one of us to participate. For some of you, that's going to be easier. Like, great, all right, $50 check, you got it, let's go. Others of you, it's going to be a huge challenge for you physically, or it's going to be a huge challenge for you financially. Some of you are going to have to do some fundraising to come up with that $50. You have to ask 10 friends to each sponsor you for $5 so you can come up with $50 for clean water for a child in Africa for the rest of their life. It's a worthy cause. I'm going to be asking people for all kinds of money for the marathon. You can ask your friends to help you come up with $50 for one person to have clean water. Oh, and kids 15 and younger, it's only $25 because they've got some big donors that came in and said, we want kids to be able to participate in this too. $50 is a lot for a kid. And so we'll cover the other half for all the kids around the world who participate in the Global 6K. And there will be thousands of people around the world doing it. You know, we're just one little site here in Valparaiso. So, all right, I just wanted to give you a little bit of encouragement just in case last week you were like, oh, Rich, there's no way I can't do a marathon. You can do a 6K, all right? You can walk it, you can run it, you can push a kid in a stroller, you can do it, you know, whatever you can do in that park. I don't know what they let you do, and I don't think you can ride bikes, but you can. If you can do it on that walking track in the park, then you can do that on the 6K on that day on May 6th and participate. So you'll hear more about it as we go, but some of you, I wanted to make sure you knew now so you weren't discouraged by the marathon goal being way unreachable, and I want to let you know now because some of you, frankly, are going to need some time. All right, to get up to 6K, and that's okay, but we'll all get there together. All right, I feel like there was something else I was going to mention, but I forgot what it was, so you can read about it later. And there's some notes for this morning's message. We've been talking about moving forward and how in this new year we can actually make some progress together. And we've been looking at this verse that describes Jesus going from being that little baby in the manger on his way to becoming the man that we read about in Scripture. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Some translations say he increased in these things. He advanced. He made progress in these areas of life. And so we talked about growing in wisdom, growing intellectually in this new year, learning some new stuff. We talked about growing physically this last week, becoming healthier in this new year. And I confess to you my lack of sleep, good sleep habits. And some of you have already started to hold me accountable to that. Somebody caught me on Facebook at 11 o'clock at night this week and was like, messaged me and said, are you supposed to be in bed? And like, oh, yeah, on my way. Okay, thanks, you know. We all have room to grow, and we all have room to grow spiritually in our relationship with God. And so I've given you these four questions, and I've been doing them kind of as a tag at the end, but today I just wanted to use them as the framework for this morning's message. Four questions to help us move forward this year, and the first one's right there, where am I today? We need to take an honest assessment of where am I spiritually? Where am I in my relationship with God? Do I even believe in God? Have I trusted in him, but my relationship with him has grown stagnant or stale? Do I feel like God is absent? Am I not even sure God is there? Where am I? Be honest about where you are spiritually. Some of you, where you are spiritually is like, you know, honestly, things are pretty good. You know, I've been growing steadily in my relationship with God. He continues to refine my character. He continues to help me to become a better person, to look more and more like Jesus. Some of us, that's not our answer today. We'd have to say, you know what, frankly, I've been stuck in kind of a cycle of failure. There's this particular sin that keeps on getting its hooks in me, and I can't seem to let go of it. In our Wednesday night Bible study, we were just talking about quitting smoking, because for some of the folks in there, it's like that's their big battle. You know, as we were talking about physical things that they want to accomplish in 2017, progress they want to make physically. Like, I want to quit smoking. You know, maybe there's something that's just, it's been a perpetual battle for you. Where am I today? Ask for God's help to see yourself clearly. I've been putting that in there for each of these, but so much more important for us spiritually. Say, God, help me to have an honest appraisal of where I am. How am I doing? I put that verse there in your notes from Psalm 139 we looked at a couple of weeks ago, where the author of this psalm just says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. He says, I know there is a way that is everlasting, a way that leads to life, and I'm not sure I'm on it. I think there are some parts of my life that might not be matching up with who you'd have me to be. So take a look, God. He's basically saying, yeah, my life is open to you, God, so please, would you point out anything in me that's not good, anything that's offensive, anything that's not helpful? It's a truth of Scripture that God sees right into our hearts. There's no hiding anything from God. But we try to do it. You know, right in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis, as soon as we disobeyed God, what was the first thing we did? We hid. God showed up for his nightly walk through the garden, and Adam and Eve were hiding in the bushes from him because they were ashamed, because they had sinned. And that's what we do. We hide from God. We hide from each other. But it just doesn't work. We need to just admit it to God. We need to just confess. Now, we should be good at this as Christians. If you're following Jesus, you should be good at that. We should be practiced at confession, at just saying, ah, that's right. Because that's how the Christian life begins, is with confession, with admitting to God that he's right about us, that we've sinned, that we've blown it, that we need his help. So we should be good at this. But maybe we need some practice. There's a great prayer from the Book of Common Prayer that the Church of England has been using for hundreds of years now. It's one they often use in their services in Episcopal, Anglican churches. It just says, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. It's just a prayer that acknowledges, God, you see everything. You see through all the masks that we think we're putting up. You know there are no secrets hidden from you, God. So please, would you cleanse my heart? Would you cleanse my thoughts? Would you change me from the inside out? The Bible's real clear. I just put one of the many verses in there that make reference to this. It says, if we confess our sins, God, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So where am I today? Maybe, frankly, maybe you need to say, you know, I'm still on a search. I'm still trying to figure out if this thing is true. Great, that's where you are. You know, maybe you're saying the relationship has grown stale, and I need to do something to, like, bring some life to this relationship with God. I'm realizing I've been neglecting it or something. Where are you today? Just be honest, and just admit that to God. Where am I? And then where do I want to go? I mean, what do I want to be able to do? Some of you, like we were talking about last week, some of your big goal is to run a marathon or to provide clean water. Maybe some of you now, you're thinking, hey, I can provide clean water for one kid through the 6K. Awesome, that'll be my goal. Where do I want to go? And I encourage you to dream big, to have a big goal, because that can be a really helpful motivator, as I put there in your notes. But when it comes spiritually, I think sometimes, 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about what keeps us stuck, why is it that sometimes we don't make progress? Sometimes we've been tricked into thinking this is all that there is. And some of you, maybe that's what you've been thinking, that a relationship with God just means, well, it means I show up at church on a Sunday morning, listen to the pastor talk for a while, we sing some songs, pray some prayers, you know, get our little bread and juice, and I go. That's what it means to be a Christian, you know. If I'm really spiritual, maybe I even put some money in the box, you know. But, you know, maybe you've just been thinking, well, this is kind of all there is. I'm here to tell you, you can have a living, growing relationship with the God who loves you, the God who made you, longs to walk with you through this life, to spend every waking moment with you, encouraging you, guiding you, giving you his peace. Now, sure, there will be some times where you don't feel it because our emotions go all over the place, and whether you got enough sleep the night before, you know, makes a big difference on what you're feeling, what you ate, and all that kind of stuff. But God, you can have a relationship with this God. Not just sing to him and pray to him and like he's off in the distance somewhere. But, well, I went ahead and included this from Romans chapter 8. It blows me away. The Apostle Paul is saying to these early Christians living in Rome, he says, and Christ lives within you. Jesus is alive in you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Saying God is alive in you if you've trusted him, if you've confessed and he's forgiven you, if he's embraced you as his child, he's given you the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. It says, therefore, because this is true, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. If you live by its dictates, you'll die. If you just keep doing what sin tells you to follow those temptations, there's a part of us that's sinful that wants to disobey God. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You might want to read Romans chapter 8 later, because he talks about that battle. Actually, in Romans 7, he talks about the battle. In Romans chapter 8, he's talking about the victory in that battle. That through Christ, we can have victory. That we don't have to follow those urges and those temptations. That we can follow Christ. That the Spirit of God can direct our lives. He says, so you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. We don't have to live our life afraid of God. Just like being a slave of God. Fine, God, I'll do what you say because I don't want you to smite me or send me to hell. He says, that's not the spirit that God's placed in us. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. And Abba is the original language word it's an intimate word for dad. Daddy, it's one of those first words kids might have said. It's a very personal kind of a word. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. I want to put that out there. Some of you are like, yep, I love being in a relationship with God. He encourages me all the time. I walk with him. I talk with him. It's a good life knowing that the God of the universe loves me. He has given me that assurance. Some of you, you're right there with me. Others of you are like, really? Really? That's possible? You can have a relationship with this God? Yes, it's true. And so maybe that's where you want to go. Maybe you want to see God. Maybe you want to grow closer to this God. Maybe you want to let his Holy Spirit rule and reign in you, as we were just, you know, singing about a little bit ago. As you do, as you follow the Holy Spirit, then, well, Galatians chapter 5, I put this in your notes, talks about the kind of life with the fruit of that. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. says this is what a life begins to look like as the Holy Spirit leads you through life. He begins to develop these things in you. Now, I know some of us, as we're doing our honest kind of assessment of where we are today, would say, ooh, yeah, no, those fruit aren't, you know, it's there, but it's like a really tiny little fruit, you know? Like, you try to bite into it, and there's not much there. It's mostly just pit, you know, and just a tiny little bit of fruit or whatever. But God can grow that, can develop this in you. He says, since we're living by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's let Him guide us. And you can be led by the Spirit of God. You can have the Spirit of the living God directing you, leading you, guiding you. The things we sing about on Sunday morning don't have to just be nice little songs, and maybe you're sitting there thinking, oh, that's nice, some people get to experience that. You can experience that. Galatians 5 is another chapter that you might want to read. It's similar to Romans 8. He's talking about if we don't follow the Spirit of God, if we're following these other urges, then it looks very different, and he talks about some of the ugliness that that produces in our lives. But if we'll let the Holy Spirit lead us, it produces some beautiful fruit in us. So where do you want to go? What kind of person do you want to be spiritually? What do you want your character to look like? What kind of person do you want to become when it comes to the spiritual part of who you are? Which again, this speaks to your character. It speaks to who you are as a human being. It speaks to being the person that God created you to be. Are you living up to that, or are you living somewhere beneath that? Now, most of us, I've been saying this, none of us have arrived, all right? None of us are where we want to be. Even if today, even if you've lived a perfect Christian life up to this very moment, which I don't think any of us have, but if that were you, the ideal Christian would still be able to say today, you know what? I've still got room to grow. Was it January 1st? Was that the day that some of you guys were just sharing things and things that you'd like to grow in? Oh, no, it was the next week, I think, as we were talking about that. And some of you were just sharing things that God's, you know, challenging you to grow and to do. My mom, who I think of as like one of those perfect Christians, you know, is about as close as you can get to it. You know, I'm 42, and, you know, she's been a Christian longer than I've been alive, been following Jesus. You know, tender heart to the things of God, you know, listening, responding to God's Holy Spirit. And she was saying, you know what? God's been telling me there's some areas I need to grow in. There's some things I need to leave behind. There's some new territory He wants me to take. There's progress still for me to make. This is not just something for, you know, none of us sit back and say, oh, yep, I'm already there. No, none of us are there yet. We all have room to grow. So where do you want to go in this next year? How do you want to grow spiritually? And then the third thing is, what steps can I take right now? What things can I begin to do today to move me in that direction? I mean, the first step is just like we talked about, just confess. You know, that's where it all begins, just by admitting to God, here's where I am and I need your help. I want to turn from these bad habits. I want to turn from my sin, and I want to turn toward you, God. So help me. Help me to begin to live a new way. That's your first step. But then what kinds of things can you continue to do? Actually, I shouldn't say that that's just the first. That continues through your life. I was just having a conversation this last week with one of you about this very thing. And he was saying how he just begins every day as he's talking to God with confession. And just saying, okay, God, you know. And like just opening up his life to God. And as God points out anything, you know, that he needs to apologize for, basically, he apologizes. He says, you're right, God. Yeah, please wash that away. Please continue to prune this vine. Please continue this masterpiece that you're making in my life. Continue to refine. Continue to purify. He actually pointed me toward this verse from John chapter 15. That's where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he uses this image of, he says, like, my Father's the gardener, I'm the vine, my Father's the gardener, and you're like the branches that grow out from this vine. He says, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. You can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. These fruit of the Holy Spirit won't grow in your life if you're not staying connected to Christ. Remain in me. Some translations say, abide in me. Just stay with me, he's saying. Stay connected to me. So three things that you might want to make habits in your life. One of them has to do with the Bible. And I just put get a grip. I was looking back over what I've preached past the times where I've tried to talk about spiritual growth, and the Bible is one of the biggest tools that God has given us for growing spiritually. And I know it's an ancient book, and I know there are parts of it that are like hard to understand, and that's okay, all right? There are other parts that are very clear, and you can deal with those first, all right? Let's deal with the stuff that we know, but and then we'll get to the stuff that we don't understand. But I've used, I picked this up years ago, the illustration of using your hand to remember the different ways you can get a grip on Scripture. You can grab a hold of Scripture. And so those five things that I just mentioned there in your notes, listen, read, study, memorize, reflect, those correspond to the five fingers of your hand. So you can just think about, I need to get a grip on Scripture. I need to listen. That's your pinky finger. I need to listen. I need to hear God's word. You hear it on Sunday mornings. You can listen to great preachers on the radio. You can get the Bible on audio. There are all kinds of apps you can get on your phone now. You can just listen to it right there. You can listen on your computer. You don't have to buy anything. It's free. You can just listen to someone reading the Bible to you. You can listen. But then you probably want to read. You probably want to use your eyeballs and actually, you know, read some Scripture. Some of you have made this a habit where every day you just read that next page in your Bible. You're making your way through the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of John, and you're just every day reading the next page or the next chapter or the next few verses. Read. And then study. That's your middle finger, your longest finger, because that's the one that will help you to grow the most, is to study the Bible, to actually ask questions as you read. And what does this mean? And begin to dig into it. Some of you have bought study Bibles. I can recommend one if you need one. It's got all kinds of notes that go along with it. So when you have a question, most of the time you look down at the note and it's like, oh, that's what that means. Oh, that's what that's about. There are all kinds of great resources on the internet and in books. Study basically just means to read and reflect and ask questions. Memorize is the index finger. You're like putting it in your brain. Some of you have done a good job of this, and that might, maybe this is a habit you want to build in. Maybe you want to just, there's a certain verse each week. You're going to write on an index card. You got a verse of the month or a verse for your year. You just want to memorize that and have it in your brain so it can be, you know, floating through your brain all week long. You write it on an index card, put it in your mirror there in the bathroom every morning as you brush your teeth. You just read that a few times. By the end of the week, you can probably say it without looking at the card. And you try. You're just going to walk around your bathroom brushing your teeth and just saying the verse to yourself. You know, you've memorized it. It's in there. And then reflect is your thumb, because the image is like a baby sucking his thumb, like, you know, chewing on it, getting everything. I don't know what they're getting out of that thumb, but, you know, they're sucking on it. And that's the idea, is that, like, you're just kind of spending time with that verse, reflecting on it, meditating on it, absorbing it. I was reading a book this last week that was based on a big, massive survey that they did of Christians and churches all across America. Lots of these really big churches with thousands of people, and they were trying to find out what is helping our people to grow and what's not. What do we need to focus on to really help people to grow? And the number one thing they found that helps people to make progress spiritually was reflecting on the Scriptures. Not just into meditating, but like you listen to it, you read it, and then you think, what does this have to do with my life? What am I going to do with this? What does God want me to get out of this? Spending time with Scripture and not just cruising on past it and moving on to the next thing, but reflecting on it. The Bible is probably the number one way to improve, because it's God communicating with us in a written way. And number two goes right along with it, is prayer. I mean, if you think of your relationship with God as like a relationship with any other friend or person, right? If you wanted to get to know somebody better, some friend, maybe it's an acquaintance at work, and you think, I ought to get to know them better. What would you begin to do in order to get to know them better? I mean, you'd have to. I'm trying to draw this analogy here. If I wanted to get to know Alex better back there, I would need to spend some time with Alex, right? I'd need to buy him lunch. We need to hang out. We need to talk. Need to know what, you know, I need to ask him, like, so what are you into? You know, spend time with him, going to, you know, hear the band that he likes or whatever, you know. Spend time with him as he, you know, jams on his, do you call it that anymore? I don't even know what you say when you get together and other people play instruments, that kind of thing. Anyway, I would need to spend time with Alex if I wanted to get to know Alex better, right? If we were to become better friends, we would need to spend some time together. He would get to know me better, I'd get to know him better. Well, guess what? If you want a closer relationship with God, you know, spend some time with him. You know, talk with him. Listen to him. That's what prayer is. It's conversations with God. You can use little prayers that have been prepared before. You can use the Lord's Prayer that we're going to pray in a minute as a pattern for that if you want to. You know, that's been one that Christians have used for a long time. Not just reciting it, but then stopping and saying, what am I saying to you right now, God? Our Father in heaven. You are like a father to me. Thank you, God, for being my father. Thank you for adopting me as your child. And as you pray, you just let that turn into a conversation. Spend some time talking with God. And number three, I got to keep moving, obedience. Do you really trust him? Are you willing to do what he says? I think, was it last week or the week before that we looked at that verse where Jesus says that somebody who listens to the words that I say and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a solid foundation. When the storms come, the house stands. But somebody who listens and doesn't do it, doesn't obey, it's like a fool who just builds his house out there right on the ground with no foundation. The storms come and just knocks it down. Obedience, doing something with what God says to us, that is huge. Because you can either develop a pattern, a habit of obeying God, or you can develop a habit and a pattern of ignoring God. All right? In your life, you can develop the habit of hearing from God and responding and doing what he says to do, which gets easier every time then that you do it, or you can develop the opposite habit of hearing God speak to you, God saying something to you, God nudging you, and you feel that. You're like, you're reading the Bible, you're praying, or you're here on a Sunday, or you hear something, and God's like, you need to do something with this. Come on, this is me talking to you right now. This is the God who loves you. You need to give up this sin, or you need to take this next step. You need to grow in this area. You need to do this. You hear from God, and if you can develop a habit of putting God off, of saying, not right now, God. You know what, I should, but I'll think about that later. You can get into a habit of ignoring God, and it gets easier and easier to ignore him then. Just like any habit, you practice it, you get good at it. You get good at ignoring God, and then guess what? You're not growing spiritually. You're not getting closer to the God who loves you. You're growing more and more distant. So these are three habits, three steps that you can take each and every day. Spend just a little time with the Bible. Pray, ask God, God, what do you want to say to me through this? Maybe you just take these verses here that I've given you and you go home this afternoon and during the commercials, while you're watching the Packers win, you can read these verses and you can reflect on, you can mute the TV during the commercials or something, and you can just spend time with God. Jesus, right after giving that picture of remaining connected to the vine, just a few verses later, he says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so you'll be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. He's saying, this is possible. He's saying, this can happen for you. You can have overflowing joy as you remain in my love because you've developed this pattern of hearing and obeying. All right, number four, who will help me get there? Basically, the church. All right, this is why God has adopted you into his family. That's why it's not just Jesus and me kind of go through this life and we'll just do it together. This is why he's given you brothers and sisters. That's why he's given you a church family. He's given you people around you who can encourage you and support you. Now, obviously, you know, looking around the room, you don't know everybody in this room real well. Well, perhaps not well enough to say to them, hey, I really need help with this particular area. You might not want to stand up in a minute and just say, give me that microphone. I got to confess my sins. I got to talk about the areas God wants me to grow in. But you can talk with somebody about that. The church is a great place for finding those people that you can trust. And over time, you learn, I really can trust this person. They care about me. They can encourage me. I would encourage you to get involved. Come out to our Wednesday night Bible study. And if you're not in one of those Bibles, we've got a couple other Bible studies that are meeting in people's homes. If you're not in one of those and you want to get connected in one of those, write me a note on that welcome card. Drop it in the offering box. Say, I need to get connected. I need some spiritual friends. I need some people to help encourage me along the way. I don't have time to read the story, but in Mark chapter 2 is that great story that I go back to it frequently, where some friends of a paralyzed guy get him to Jesus. They end up having to dig a hole through a roof and lower him down. They do some public destruction of public property or private property to get their friend to Jesus because they know that Jesus can help them, can help him. And it says Jesus, seeing their faith, heals the guy, forgives his sins, because he had friends who were willing to carry him to Jesus. If he didn't have those friends, he would have just continued lying there paralyzed. But he had some people who, when he was stuck, were able to get him to Jesus. You need people who will get you to Jesus. You need people who will encourage you and help you along the way. Now, you might need more help than you may need more help than what I can give you on a Sunday morning, all right? You're not going to get it all right here, right now. In fact, I was just talking to somebody else this last week who they went through like a PTSD deal. You know, they went through such trauma that spiritually they were just stuck until finally they went and talked with somebody about the trauma they'd experienced, because emotionally and spiritually they just could not make progress in life until they stopped and talked to somebody, a trusted counselor who helped them work through that trauma, and then finally began to be healthy enough that they could make some progress. We need each other. You cannot do this on your own. All right? God loves you. He longs to have a relationship with you that is growing, that is progressing, where every day, every week, every year you are moving forward. So let's pray. Let's ask for God to help us to take the steps that we need to begin that right now. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring so deeply for us. God, right now, today, there have been some of us who, during this message, have been feeling like, yeah, I really do need to grow spiritually this year. I've just been kind of stuck. Things have been stagnant. All right, or maybe, God, they've been growing more and more distant from you. God, they look at themselves and they realize there are some real progress that needs to be made. God, I know that you've pointed out things in my life, progress I need to make this year. So please, God, would you help us? Today we admit this to you, that we need your help. We don't have it all figured out. And we have not yet arrived. So God, today we come to you for help, and we thank you that you've given us some resources and you've given us people to encourage us and to help us. And you've given us the gift of your Holy Spirit alive in us to guide us and to empower us. Thank you, God. You have provided us with all that we need to begin to make progress, to begin to take steps in the right direction. Would you please give us the willpower to say yes to you, to begin to take that next step? Thank you, God, that you have done what was necessary for us to have this life with you. We're about to celebrate communion together, offering you these gifts of bread and juice. And God, we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood. That as we take this bread and this juice, that we would be reminded of the great sacrifice that was made for me, for each one of us, so that my sins could be forgiven, so that I could be set free, so that I could become the person you created me to be, so that I could be free to follow Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Today, we turn from our sin and we turn to you with hearts full of expectation, hearts full of hope, hungry for your grace, for your forgiveness, for your love. Thank you, God, for showing us this love in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Thank you, God, for the love that you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Please, would you draw us into a living, vital relationship with you? Help us this week to be aware of your loving presence with us. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ, that we might live in this world as your sons, as your daughters, as the body of Christ, your hands, your feet. Thank you, God. We pray all this with confidence in you and in your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in peace.